A Fubs Media production.
Okay, so it's a video.
Okay.
On Insta.
The funny thing.
Yes, the funny thing. And he makes his girlfriend's soap out of potato and like has it shaped like her soap. And then she comes in and he's like filming her and she's like getting mad at him because she thinks he shaved her soap. Because
okay.
See how he is like shaping it?
Yeah.
So she's like washing her face, but literally the funniest part is this guy is dying laughing
and
at himself.
She's washing her face with a potato.
Yeah. So he just starts laughing and she's like, "What is your problem? Why are you filming me?" And he's like, "It's a potato." And then it's like the dumbest thing, but he has the highest pitch laugh and it just goes and goes. And literally laughed for 30 minutes.
We'll have to put this in the show notes.
Please do.
Thanks, Instagram.
It was like the best. And my husband's getting so mad. Like, it's not that funny.
That's hilarious. All right, well, let's get to the show.
Okay.
Hey, 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 I'm Katie, and this is She Makes, a podcast dedicated to female creative entrepreneurs. I'm so excited to go through this podcast with you to share maker stories, talk about educational tidbits, and explore some hot topics for women in business. Let's get to it. Hello, Katie Sensenig Skilthouse here with She Makes a Podcast. I am the founder of Mosaic Makers Collective in Dallas, Texas. I run a stationery company, and I am here today with Ruby, one of our makers at Mosaic. Hey, Ruby.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So I'd love for you to take a minute to introduce yourself, kind of who you are, what you do, and how you found Mosaic.
Okay, so I'm Ruby, and I am the owner of Handpicked by Ruby. I make handmade dolls and, gosh, I started making them because my son loved them and there weren't a lot of quote unquote boy dolls out there for him. So I just started making them and then they just kind of took off and I'm really grateful for that.
That's lovely. I love that. I love that you just embraced something your son wanted and went for it because I think one of the hardest things for makers to do is find that hole in the market. And I think you really found that.
Yeah.
So how did you stumble upon Mosaic? How did all of that happen between you and me?
I feel like, did you find me?
I did.
Okay.
Just testing you to see if you remember, right? Yeah, I found your product online and fell in love.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about Handpicked by Ruby. You make these dolls. What are they like? What do they look like? What are they for?
They're fabric dolls, and I hand embroider the faces. I make them with all different types of fabrics. I try to, most of it is ethically sourced where I can, and I just try to make them to match the kids. So sometimes they're just simple, and they don't really have anything that's that unique about them except for the fabric choice. And then other ones, I just made one last week, I think, where he had a cleft lip. And so we sewed in to match his lips so that the doll is his and he can see himself in it. So that's really the beauty of the dolls for me is just making them to match the kids so that when they see it, they see that they are special because there's a doll that looks just like them and it was worth creating. So they're worth, you know, creating a doll for, I guess.
Absolutely. You're telling them an incredible story, I think. So do you remember... You have a story of a doll you made specifically for someone where it was a really positive outcome that you could tell us about?
I do have one that meant a lot to me. Well, actually two. So the first one was I had one of my, I teach the youth at church and one of them came to me and said, I have a sister who's really sad. She says that she doesn't look like the Barbie says she has and none of her dolls look like her. And she's just, it's taking a hit on her self-esteem. She's like, I want to ask you to make a doll for her. And so she was like 16 at the time. Mm-hmm. And she took her own money to make her sister a doll so that her sister could feel special and see herself in a doll. So that was one that was really special. And the second one was I had a lady reach out to me and she wanted a doll made for her daughter because her mother had passed away before she gave birth. And so she had all of these clothes that she'd kept from her mom when she died of cancer. And she asked if she could send me those clothes and then if I could make a doll out of them for her daughter. And I did. And I had a lot extra, so I just made a bunch of outfits for her too, because that's a hard...
Oh, how wonderful.
That's a hard thing. So anyway, I did a live market. I don't do a lot of them, but I did one in McKinney. I want to say like 2 years after. I mean, it was like a fairly long time after. And this lady came up to me and just like, oh my gosh, I don't know if you remember. Anyway, it was her.
Oh my gosh.
So I just hugged her and we had like a good cry over it. But it was really sweet. And it's things like that that remind me that what I'm doing matters.
Yes.
Because it's really easy as a creative to believe that what you make maybe doesn't mean anything to people. Or, I mean, we're our worst critics. So
right.
It was nice to see that.
When you started, did you envision having stories like this? Like was...
No.
No, she's like really shaking her head over here.
No, I had started, oh gosh. So Matt was a student after we were married for 8 years. Uh-huh. So we were just like poor college students. So most of the time when I would start little things, it was just to try to make money, to like make the difference. And none of those worked for very long, probably because love wasn't in it. It's really, right. I've decided that people can sense when you really enjoy what you're doing. So I tried them. I had like 4 different shops. They all failed. And then I started making these dolls for Link. And then I had friends asking about them because I posted them on Facebook. And then their friends were asking about them. And
it grew like wildfire.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, now I have to find a price and I have to make a name for my shop and all the things that I didn't want to have to do. But it worked.
That's amazing. Well, thanks so much for telling that story. We'll be back soon with more with Ruby. And we're back with She Makes a Podcast. I'm Katie. I'm here with Ruby of Handpicked by Ruby. Hey, Ruby.
Hey.
So let's get back to talking about business. You started Handpicked by Ruby many years ago. How many years now has it been?
It'll be 7 in February.
Congratulations.
That's Thank great. You.
So it's been 7 years. You've probably learned a lot over the last 7 years.
Yes.
How did you feel when you got started? Did you have doubts? Were there things stopping you from moving forward?
Yes.
Simple answer.
So many doubts. Okay. So I taught myself how to sew, and I was sure that everybody would know. That yes. somehow they were going to know that I didn't use the correct stitch or I didn't use the correct technique or whatever it was. I was so sure of it. And so I sold these hand-sewn, hand-embroidered dolls for $25 at first.
Wow.
Which...
And how much time does it take to make a doll? I mean, that has to be not anything for you.
Back then, it took me around 2 hours.
Wow. Plus materials.
Yes. So, and now I can get it done in 45 minutes, but nice. That's because I've done it for such a long time. But so I sold them for 25, and then I'd read something about how you should, basically people aren't going to want to buy it if it's super cheap because they're going to assume that it's cheaply made. And I was like, okay, well, I have enough faith in myself that I wouldn't say it's cheaply made, right? Mm-hmm. So I raised the price to 45. I had a friend reach out to me and they said, Matt must be setting your prices or you're really proud of yourself when Ooh. I raised it to 45. Ooh. So here I am, you know, I was already super insecure about the dolls I was making. And then I raised the price. And then that's within a day,
that's
I
had
that message. And so then I was just like sick to my stomach again, like, oh my gosh, I knew it. Nobody was going to want to buy them. And now I sell them for 68. So,
right. I think you learned your lesson and he was not the one to teach you that lesson, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to just own it. And I think that's what I learned was that one, there's no right way to make art, period. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, like whatever technique I'm using is working. And so I'm just going to keep doing that. And I don't have to worry about, you know, if it's not the right way, because if the doll is staying together, it's the right way.
Exactly. I mean, is there a right way when it comes to art? Because art is art and it's your creation.
Yeah.
And I totally get what you say about being worried about the stitches not looking right, because I'm a self-taught like graphic designer too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a fraud all the time. Like, oh, someone's going to notice that this image is a little blurry or my pixels aren't right or this color is going to be off. And
yeah,
people don't. They don't notice and they love your art for what it is. And so I think being confident in that is a really hard thing to do, but an important thing to do.
Yeah. And it's freeing too, though, because you finally just get to shake off the worry about what other people are thinking about your art.
Exactly.
Because really, who am I making it for? I'm not making it for parents. I'm making it for the kids.
For the kids.
And the kids don't care. If it's in beautiful fabrics and colors that they love, which is what I try to make them out of, then they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what stitches I
use. Of course they don't. Of course they don't. And that's important too, is remembering your customer.
Yeah.
And making for them and no one else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when it comes to pricing, it took you a while to kind of figure out your price point. Is there advice you would give anyone who's just starting when it comes to pricing their product?
I think I learned two very important things. One, to price it on what you're worth. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you really have to just own what you're worth is. And that's hard because we're kind of, I don't know, we're taught to self-deprecate, I think, a little bit. And, you know, not to be too high on ourselves because then we're stuck up. But I've been doing this for 7 years. I think it's okay to say I'm a good doll maker, you know, like, and it's okay to own that. And so
you should.
So I learned to price it on where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably could charge more. But honestly, I don't want it to be a doll that sits up on a shelf. And I think if I charge any more, then kids won't get to play with them. And that's why I made them. And so I am careful about that. And then the other thing that I learned was that there are some things that I think are just the most adorable, but I've realized with the amount of time that it takes for me to make it and how much I would have to charge for it, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've really had to balance out what's worth making. I mean, I knit sweaters for the dolls. Oh, gosh, those take me 3 times longer sell that than it is to sew a doll. And so one of the ways that I got around being able to sell those is I would sell them in a pack. So that way I could sew like a few skirts with it and it would be like a whole thing. And the skirts are super easy and fast to sew. So then they're getting a lot. I'm still able to charge enough to make up for the time that it takes to make them. And then, you know, people aren't feeling gypped for having to pay $25 for a sweater that they could pay the same price for their own kids. So,
right. Well, I mean, there's a lot that goes into handmade goods. It's not just the materials, it's the craft, it's the making, it's the training you gave yourself to get to the point that you could make this good for them.
Yeah.
So you talked about kind of defining your worth. What went into calculations there? Let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
We're back with She Makes a Podcast. I'm Katie, here with Ruby of Handpicked by Ruby. Hey, Ruby.
Hey.
We were just talking about defining your worth as a maker, what that looks like financially, what goes into the calculation, which is a super, super hard question. But I'd love to know what you think of when you're calculating your worth. Is it hourly pay? Is it materials? Is it time? Is it your expertise? Tell me what goes into that.
Okay, so if I decide to sell something, it means that I've decided it's worth my time. That's probably the first key because I have 3 kids at home and that time is important to me. And so I have to decide if it's worth that trade-off to take time to make that item. So I guess that's my first step is it worth my time? And then after that, it's just the price of materials plus the time that it takes to make it. And that's my simple formula.
I think people really tend to complicate that and think, how am I ever going to figure out exactly how much this product is worth? And I think it's a combination of looking at your costs plus your time and then looking at industry comparisons and what are other people charging for handmade dolls? And well, you don't want to be exactly the same. Mm. You know, if someone else is charging 20, you know, that person is likely going to undercut you and sell more dolls than you are at 68 because that's just what happens. But I think those also come from makers who just don't know how to define their worth yet.
Yeah. They're just the starters like me.
Yes. Like you when you were
trying to figure it out,
you know, at that price for a doll. Exactly. And I've worked with makers at the shop who come in at a really low price point and I tell them before you join us, you've got to up your prices. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to sell and you're going to undercut other makers if you leave it where they are. And they really appreciate hearing that. And they're genuinely surprised when things sell. And I'm like, girl, you don't know. Like, things will move. You're good at what you do and you're not worth half price.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of being in this environment for as long as we have is to be able to confidently tell them, no, you're worth it. Like your product is really good. I see a lot of things and you're really worth it. And
exactly.
It's important to That's why I love this community at Mosaic specifically too, is because it's just women building up women. And I love that.
Yeah. So let's talk about lifting up others, because I think that's something you really do in your business, especially with these kiddos, some who have little quirks or imperfections that they may not love about themselves that you're teaching them to love through these dolls. That is so cool.
Thank you.
So why are you so rooted in lifting up others? Where does that come from?
I think it's just a process. I don't think that it really came from anything so much as it's just part of growing and learning other people's stories. And mm-hmm. I mean, I had a really cushy life. So there's been a lot of things that I had to learn growing up about what it feels like and what it looks like to be in a minority. And so I love the opportunity that I have to make dolls for those who, you know, they feel different, whatever it is, whether I, you know, I've made leg braces for dolls, I've made hearing aids for dolls, I've done the cleft lip, any way that I can to make their doll extra special so that they can see beauty, their same beauty in something else.
Because it is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Absolutely. Everything is so beautiful about it. And the more unique the doll, the more love I have for it when I send it off. Because I feel like that doll is going to be treasured. Probably more so than just like the average doll that goes out.
Or like a teddy bear from Walmart, you know? Yeah. I mean, this is something big you're doing and I love it. So in terms of caring for others, you know, you often hear that phrase that it starts by caring for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. How are you with the whole self-care movement and taking care of yourself as a maker?
I'm real big into it.
I love it.
I feel like it matters a lot. But I also feel like, I mean, it's true. If you don't have a full tank, how are you going to give to anybody else?
Right.
And sometimes we get caught in this trap of feeling like I have to give until we have nothing left. But then, I mean, creativity is not born in an empty tank.
No.
We definitely need a full tank. So I think, you know, just starting with ourselves, it feels selfish, but really it's important. Whether it's as a maker, as a mom, as a spouse, as a partner, whatever it is, I really think starting with ourselves is super important.
So what are some ways you practice that on any given day?
Diet Coke.
That's a great answer.
I love it. I was like, my husband hates it. But yeah, no, that's my thing. Like, that's what I start my day with. I feel real good about it. That's the thing I enjoy. So I set it down, turn on whatever show that I'm loving at that moment and watching it. And then the work just kind of flows because it just feels, it's a space that I thrive in.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. I think it's about finding those little things that make you happy and indulging in them. It's, you know, and like you said, I think we're taught that this is selfish in some way, and it's really not.
No.
And I also think self-care is not just bubble baths and bath bombs and meditation, right? I think it looks different for everybody. And so I love that for you, it's Diet Coke.
Yeah. For my husband, it is a bubble bath.
Everyone's a little different, am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ruby, thank you so much for coming in today, talking to me, being here. I've absolutely loved having you.
Thank you.
So where can we find Handpicked by Ruby and your other brands online?
Okay, so online it's www.handpickedbyruby.com. You can also find me on Instagram at handpickedbyruby. And then you can find me at Mosaic Makers in Bishop's Art District or in the Galleria in Dallas.
Perfect. And like she said, I'm with Mosaic Makers Collective. On Instagram, we are at Mosaic Makers CO. And online, we are www.mosaicmakers.co. And this is She Makes a Podcast at She Makes a Podcast. Thanks, everyone. She Makes a Podcast is a FUBS Media production brought to you by Mosaic Makers Collective. Shop local female-made goods every day at Mosaic. Find us online at mosaicmakers.co and shemakesapodcast.com. You can listen to us on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, FUBSmedia.com, or anywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
A FUBS Media production.